all praises to the glory of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you again. Thank you again for just giving us another opportunity, dear Heavenly Father, to stand and proclaim what thus saith the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll prepare the ears of the listeners, the mouth of the speaker, and the heart of all involved, that we might receive and hear your truth, dear Heavenly Father, above everything else, above all the din, that your word might ring true, loud and clear, that lives are challenged, that minds are changed, and that souls are saved. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. I want y'all to turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. Turn your Bible to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 10. And what you'll find about the book of Acts is the book of Acts is a book of change. The book of Acts is a book of action. And it's transition. Things are happening and happening fast as God is bringing his people, bringing them from the old covenant up to speed in the new covenant. Now, I don't know how we ended up with that graphic there. But that graphic is very special. It's very special. I'm going to tell you why it's special. Because this was not planned out. I'll just tell you, it's not planned out. When Good Shepherd and Fellowship Family first came together as a combined unit, Brother Kev pulled me off to the side. And he said, Pastor, there's a rainbow out there. He said, that's a good sign. That's when we first got here. First got here. That sign has been taken over by some other folk, so they think. But that sign was given by God. It was patented by God. And it still belongs to God. Because God said, that's not a remembrance for us. He said, that's a remembrance to him. He said, because every now and again, we get so far afield, he got to remind himself that he ain't going to trash this place again. That's a sign of the flood, y'all. That's a sign that God, that's a sign that God gave after the flood. Because he said, because sometimes we as people, we can get on his nerves. He said, whenever I put that rainbow out there, so whenever you see that rainbow, that's a good thing. God said, I put it there not to remind you. I put it there to remind me of my promise to never flood this earth again. He didn't say he wouldn't correct us again. He said, I'll never flood the entire earth again. Amen. That wasn't my message, but that just happened to be there. Message is found in Acts chapter 10. And we're going to do the whole chapter, but we're going to do one key verse. We're going to key in on one key verse, and we're going to get through this. We're going to get through it in a timely fashion because I want to, and I want to give y'all some time. It's Memorial Day. We already talked about the purpose of Memorial Day, but turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 10, and we're going to read 1 through 6, and we're going to key in on verse 4. Verses 1 through 6. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Verse 6, he lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Key on verse 4. And when he looked at, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Today we're going to talk about because God remembers. You may be seated. Because God remembers. Like I said, this was not planned. This is God's providence right here. God put the rainbow there because, he says, that's a reminder. That's a memorial. This is Memorial Day weekend. That's a memorial, a reminder to God that he said, I would not ever, no matter how much we pressed him, he would never, ever flood this entire earth again. He said, I'm just not going to do it. But look here, look here in verse 4. This is where Cornelius is praying. And he's praying faithfully. And the Bible says that, Cornelius, your prayers, look what he says. He says, your prayers and thine alms, that's your giving, your prayer and your giving has come up for a memorial before God. It's a reminder, just like the rainbow's reminder, Cornelius' prayers came up as a reminder to God. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes you pray so much and you pray so long that you say, what good is it doing me? What's the point? What's the point? I'm praying to somebody I can't see. What's the point? I want you to know, just like Cornelius, it says Cornelius, the angel came to him and said, Cornelius, your prayers, all those prayers, you've been praying and praying and praying. Because it said he prayed always. That means continuously. And the angel said, your prayers. Wait a minute. Think about this for a minute. Out of all the people on the planet, God is paying attention to each and every individual prayer. Y'all understand what kind of God we serve? He says, Cornelius, your prayers have come up in the face of God. And think of it as the Old Testament refers to our prayers like incense. It's a sweet smell to God. The prayers of the saints is a sweet savor unto God. He loves to hear us pray. And the fact is, he sits and he listens to us pray. I just got one question. Just one question. Wonder if God's got earbuds so he can listen to us prayer. Pray. We pray and we continue to pray and we persevere in prayer because God remembers. Now today we're going to go through this pretty quickly. But this particular account in chapter 10 of the book of Acts, this is very important in scripture because this is the very first record of uncircumcised Gentiles coming into the church. This is the first time in the history of the world that it took place right here in Acts chapter 10. Because I told you, things are happening and happening fast. You said, well, what about Stephen? Stephen and the Ethiopian eunuch. Ethiopian eunuch was a proselyte. He had converted to Judaism. He was no longer a Gentile. What about Lydia? What about Rahab? These are all people who became proselyte Jews. They had to go through a process to become part of the Jewish community. This is the first one in Scripture where somebody who didn't know anything about Moses got saved and became part of the church. Guess what, y'all? Got news for you. That represents us. Not a whole lot of us know too much about Moses. We don't know too much about Obed and Ittihar and Eleazar. We don't know those guys, but we do know the person who's most important. That's Jesus. Amen? Amen. Okay. So we're going to talk about opening the gospel to the Gentiles. That's verses 1-6, opening the gospel to the Gentiles. And I want you to just mark these down because I'm going to be all over the place in this text. This message was delivered to the Gentiles by a Jewish man because the gospel is to the Jew first. The gospel was given to the Jews first. And you'll find that verses 7 through 33. And then you'll see where it had to be received and believed, okay, by the Gentiles. And that's verses 34 through 48. Okay, opening to the gospel, the opening to the Gentiles, verses 1 through 6. Delivered by a Jew, verses 7 through 33. Received and believed unto salvation, verses 34 through 48. Amen. And through it all, write this down, keep this. One prayed, one obeyed, and God remembered. One prayed, one obeyed, and God remembered. Verses 1 through 6, where we talk about the Gentiles coming into the kingdom. Verses 1 through 6, you can see where Cornelius is an Italian soldier. He's an Italian soldier. And they were an occupying force over here in this particular territory. But Cornelius was a God-fearing man. He was a God-fearing man. And the Bible says that he gave to the people. That means he gave to the Jews. He gave alms. Alms is offerings and gifts and help them out wherever he could help them out. And it says he prayed and he gave alms. And he feared God along with everybody else in his house. That means they revered God. They looked at God as the awesome. What is she saying? Saying that song? She said, because of who you are. They understood that much about him, but they didn't know the whole story. But they understood that much about him. And the Bible says that while this Gentile was praying, he saw a vision in verse 3, somewhere around the ninth hour. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's praying, and he sees this vision, and it's an angel. Verse 3, he saw in a vision, evidently, that means it was very apparent, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Man, that mess you up. That mess you up. And just in case you're still thinking that angels show up with little, and they got their little wings on, their little cute skirts and little bow. Ooh, ooh. Read what took place. He said, this man said he was scared to death. He was scared. This wasn't no little cute angel. This was an angel sent by God, and he called him by name. When I told the kids over at church where I used to serve, and I thought it was so profound, I told the kids, I said, look, when Moses walked toward the burning bush, you know, the bush said, Moses, called out his name. I said, look at that. God knows everybody's name. I said, isn't that special? And the kids looked at me and said, well, he's God. He's supposed to know. I thought I was being deep. But see, unless you have the faith of a child, you don't get it. You don't get it. God is concerned about you. He's very concerned about you. And he wants you to be concerned about him and his plan. But understand, he's very, very concerned and committed about you. He's so committed, he committed his son's life. That's how committed he is to your salvation and my salvation. His son was committed unto death. He said, the angel shows up and the angel says, he says, Cornelius. And then he looked at Cornelius and he says, Cornelius, your prayers and your giving, your alms, your prayers and your giving have all come up before God, like this incense, it's like this smoke. It has filtered up from down here on your knees all the way up to heaven. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You think you're down on your knees doing nothing. You think this, sometimes when our prayers don't get answered in the time that we think it should be answered, we begin to think it's an exercise in futility. But I want you to know, God remembers. God remembers. And it's right here in the text. It's right here for you. God remembers. And he says, your prayers have come up. He goes, now, God is getting ready to address your situation. Don't you know God, man, that's good news. I know some of y'all folk been sick. I know some of y'all folk been broke. I know some of y'all folk been sick and broke. Amen. Amen. And you cried out to God because you tapped out your brother, you tapped out your sister. You're ashamed to go ask mom and daddy for any more. And you said, Lord, help me. I know you did because I've been there. I know you did. And you cried out unto the Lord. And he said, Cornelius, now's the time. He said, you've been calling on me. And God said, I'm putting all these things into place. I want y'all to understand this. A lot of people talk about karma. Because God works everything to the good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. He goes, we talk about, oh, that's good karma. No, karma got killed. Okay? Karma got killed. Luck is a loser. And chance is a chump. It ain't got nothing to do with nothing. It's God's providence. And God says, now I'm ready to put all these pieces together. I'm ready to put all these pieces together on your behalf, Cornelius. And he says, send off for Peter, who's staying with Simon, the tanner. And he says, when you go over there in verse 6, he says, he lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And when you get there, he shall tell thee what thou ought to do. Now, understand that word ought. That's a troubling word for a lot of Christians. Because the word ought is not the same as you got to. See, the reason we don't do a lot of the Christian things, the reason we don't come get Christian educated, because God didn't say, you got to. What he said was, you ought. You ought to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You ought to. So look at here. He said, when you get there to Peter, the preacher is going to tell you. Well, we don't like preachers telling us exactly what to do because this is the time of day. This is when we take consensus. This is 2018. We take consensus. We look for votes. We look for how the majority is going to go. He said, no, when you get there, the preacher is going to tell you what you ought to do. Now, do what you want to do, but this is what you ought to do. And then the angel spake unto Cornelius, and then he departed. And when the angel left, look what Cornelius did. He went right into action. As soon as the angel left, Cornelius, you go over to verse 7, Cornelius called in some of his servants, and he called in a trusty soldier. And by the way, a centurion is a Roman soldier who's over at least 100 men. So he's not a nobody. He's a somebody. He's a soldier. He's a somebody. But he's a somebody. And see, thank you, Lord. Some people think that you can't be a committed soldier and be a godly person. Because what do soldiers do, y'all? They kill people. Wait a minute. Thou shalt not kill. Have you read your Bible? Do you know what King David was before he was King David? He was a soldier par excellence. You know they made songs about David? Saul killed his thousands and David killed his what? Tens of thousands. So please, before y'all condemn all the military, talking about, we don't want to fight no war. Nobody wants to fight war, but a lot of people got to fight war. And you better thank God that somebody's out there making it so you don't have to be ducking and dodging the bullets. Amen. I talked to one of my brothers. He was a Vietnam veteran. And when the whole thing started up over in Iraq back after 9/11, and he was like, he said, preacher, he said, I'm torn over whether we're right or wrong or this, that, and the other. He said, but I will tell you this. He said, but one thing I'm sure of, while I'm figuring it out, I'm rather that they ducking and dodging bullets instead of me. He said, I got time to think about it. But see, our military sometimes ain't got time to think about it, y'all. We watch stuff on TV, it lasts an hour and it's over. No, it's not real life. Let's move on. This man was a soldier. And he called his people together, and he put in this operation, and he sent his man over to where Peter was. He sent his man over to Joppa. Yeah, he was in Caesarea. Yeah, he was in Caesarea, and he sent his man over to Joppa, which is about 33 and a half miles from Caesarea. And all the while, look at God's providence. All the while that this is taking place, God has already tapped Peter on the shoulder. He's tapped Peter on the shoulder. And the Bible says that Peter, in verse 10, Peter went up to his housetop. And it's about the 6th hour. So that means it's about noon. And he got real hungry. He got real hungry. And he would have eaten, but he was running out of time. Things were kind of piling up on him. But look what happened. Here he is hungry. Now I experienced that over in the Middle East because I didn't like any of the food. You can't get no sausage. You can't get no ribs. You can't get no. That was the only difficult part of my whole journey, especially on Saturday when nobody cooks anything either. So it was brutal. But here Peter's hungry, y'all. He's hungry. And he goes up on the rooftop to pray. And sometimes even when you're praying now, you know when you're hungry, you start praying and let's see, what's that lunch special? Lord, I'll get back. I'll pick this one up where I left off. And I'm going to go over here. I'll be right back, Lord, but I'm hungry. Well, look what God did. Look how God took advantage of Peter. Peter was hungry. And God gives him a vision. And God has this sheet dropped down from heaven. But there's a problem with this sheet. This sheet has lamb, which he can eat, probably some trout, probably some salmon, probably some beef, probably some really good stuff that he's allowed to eat. But also there's some catfish, there's some pork chop, there's some stuff that no self-respecting Jew would put his mouth on. And Peter says, he goes, it's filled with clean and unclean stuff. That means stuff that God had told him in the Levitical law, God says, don't eat that stuff. Because I've set you apart, you're special, you're my people, you're special. And one day I'll give you a lesson on how God preserved his people during the time when all sanitation was a real big problem, and how because of the Levitical eating habits, his people persevered. But here, right here in the book of Acts, God changed everything. He sent this vision down to Peter, and it contained all kinds of clean and unclean, ceremonially clean and ceremoniously unclean. You know what it was filled with? It was filled with food that Gentiles eat. Gentiles eat about anything that sits still long enough. They'll cook it and eat it. Sometimes they won't even cook it and tell you, ooh, it's a delicacy. But God brought this vision down on Peter. And he said, Peter, take, kill, and eat. Oh, no, Lord. How's that work? No, Lord. No, Lord. We know how that works because we do it too. No, Lord, I know you told me to do this and I know you told me that. No, Lord. Peter said, Lord, I can't eat that. It's unclean. I'm following the Levitical code. I know what the Bible says. It says don't eat that unclean stuff. And God dropped it. He made the vision come back down again. He said, Peter, take, eat. Peter said, Lord, I can't do it. It's unclean. It's unclean. What did God say? God said, don't you call anything I made unclean. Amen. Oh, not the look, the what do you call it? The not the passion. The script builds. Everything is building up. Because God's going to do something special here, y'all. God's going to do something special. And he said, Peter, get up and kill it and eat it. And three times, didn't Peter deny God three times someplace else, y'all? Hadn't he been down this road before? Didn't he learn that that's an exercise in futility to keep saying, no, Lord? Sooner or later, just like Peter, just like you, just like moi, sooner or later, you better say, yes, Lord. And the sooner you say, yes, Lord, and get over our hang-ups and whatever it is we got about what God has told us to do, the better off we'll be, and the sooner he'll be glorified, and the sooner you'll be blessed. If you just drop down and say, yes, Lord. Three times. It's three times that God showed Peter this vision. In verse 16. It says, this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself, and watch how the plot unfolds, while Peter was up here still contemplating, doubting about this whole vision that he saw, there's a knock on the door, because now the men that Cornelius had sent are at the door. They didn't have no GPS or nothing. They stopped and asked around town. They said, where can we find Simon the Tanner's house? And they went to the house, and they're downstairs knocking on the door. And they come in to get Peter. And while Peter is still thinking about everything, and down in verse 19 says, while Peter thought on the vision, and the Spirit said unto him, behold, the men are at the door, Peter. What? Three men are at the door. Peter doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know that God spoke to Cornelius. He doesn't know that God remembered Cornelius's prayer. And Cornelius doesn't know Peter. But God told Cornelius to send for Peter. And now God is preparing Peter to go to Cornelius. Brothers and sisters, I submit to you, there's folks out here in this congregation today. God wants to use you. God wants to use you, but you're still doubting. You're still saying, no, Lord, I can't do that. But see, understand, if God calls you to do it, God is going to equip you to get it done. Understand that. But right now, it's going to take too much of a commitment, Lord. I don't have the time for this, and I don't have the time. If you'll yield to God, he'll give you the time. J. Vernon McGee, great Bible expositor, he's going on to glory. J. Vernon McGee, he said, he said, God would tell me to do all kinds of things. He said, I had TV going, I had radio going, I had my books I was writing. He said, man, I was a world-renowned preacher. I was a speaker all over the world. And he said, God kept calling to me, said, slow down. Your family, slow down. And so finally, these are the words of J. Vernon McGee. He said, God gave me cancer. These are the words of J. Vernon McGee. He said, God gave me cancer so that I would be still and look up and give him some time. See, we always got time for everything else that God gave us the energy to do. You're forgetting it, y'all. We're forgetting it. God gave you the ability to do those 6 days. God gave you the intelligence to do those 6 days and go to that great job and make that good buck. God gave you the ability. He said, I'm only asking for one. That's all I'm asking you for, church. Can I get an amen on that? I just want one. That's it. Is that too much to ask for one who died for you, hung, bled, died on the cross? Can you come to Sunday school? Can you bring your children? Can you tell a neighbor? Can you bring a friend? Can you just give me some? Wait, Rodney Dangerfield, you say, okay, give me some respect. God said, just give me some respect. That's all I ask. Give me some respect. The three men are at the door. They tell Peter, they said, Peter, verse 21, then Peter went down to the men which were sent to him by Cornelius, and behold, I am him who ye seek. And what are you here for? What's the cause? And they said to Cornelius, they told him, they said, look, our boss, it's Cornelius. They said to Peter, our boss, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among the nation of the Jews, was warned by God, by a holy angel, to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. One man prayed. God remembered the prayers of Cornelius. Then one man prayed. Cornelius, he prayed. Now, what does Peter say? Peter says, let's get ready. We're going to go. One man prayed. One man obeyed. Church, Christianity is not deep. It's just not deep. You pray, God speaks, you obey. That's it. Now, we can sit down and, you know, we can have one of those psychological sessions where you can come and you can lay down on the couch and you say, oh, but pastor, what about this? You pray. God speaks. We obey. And the sooner we do it, the sooner everything gets done, because God's not changing his mind. Amen. Moving on. Verse 24. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen. See, Cornelius is waiting. He's waiting. I mean, look at this. Cornelius prayed. God told him what to do. And in anticipation, he didn't get a text from Peter. He didn't get an email from Peter. But in anticipation that when I ask God for something and God told me to do thus and thus, that God's going to come through. God is going to come through. It may not be when you want it, but God is going to come through. So Cornelius is making preparation. And in preparation, since he was a believer, since he was a God-fearing man, in preparation, what did he do? He gathered all of his friends. He gathered all of his family. And he said, we getting ready to learn something big, y'all. God going to do something big. We should be grabbing our neighbors, our cousins, our friends, our brothers, our sisters, our children, and not sending them, leading them. Tell me, God's going to do something big. God's going to do something great. God's going to glorify himself. If we show up, God is going to glorify himself. I know he will. And Cornelius, this Gentile man, he was believing strong. He was believing so strong. And Peter gets to his house. They get everything to working. And then in verse 28, I'm not going to keep you long, but I got to tell you this. I got to tell you this. This is going to mess you up. I got to tell you. In verse 28, it reads, this is Peter talking. And he said unto them, he's in this house full of Gentiles, house full of uncircumcised Gentiles. And he said unto them, ye know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. Woo. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like Jewish Jim Crow. That's racism. It's against the law. It's against the law for me to hang out with folk who don't look like me, don't walk like me, don't talk like me, don't believe. It's against the law. It's called Jim Crow. Racism. Belief or doctrine asserting racial differences in character, intelligence, etc., and the superiority of one race over another or others. Racist doctrine also typically seeks to maintain the supposed purity of a race or races. Peter said it's against the law. I can't do it. It's a racist doctrine. But don't stop right there. And Peter says, but God, you hear me? Peter says, but God has showed us. He showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That's the diversity program, church. That's it in a nutshell. God has said, don't you call anybody, I don't care who they are, racist, unclean, and don't say it. It's a blight in the eyes of, because God said to me, and I'm not even talking black and white folk. I'm talking Jew and Gentile. It's right here in the book. I can get that from the Dallas Morning News. I got that out of the Bible. This is racism pure and simple. And see, here's the problem. This is how we'll get out the morning. Here's the problem with racism. Everybody wants to deal with that racism, that race, racist over there. Everybody does. And nobody wants to deal with the racist in the mirror. Nobody does. Okay, get quiet on me. I don't care. It's right here in the book. Peter, it was a law. The Gentiles and the Jews did not have anything to do with each other. They called each other dogs. Dogs. Publish that in the newspaper and see how far that gets you. But the difference is, Peter, who was saved, sanctified, set apart, sold out for God, Peter said, God spoke to me. And God told me, I can't be like this. See, that's somewhat, God's going to give us a church like that, y'all. He's going to give us a sold out church. He's going to give us a church to say, I don't like you, but God, come on, sit down. Because God said, you're welcome in this church. That's the goal, church. It ain't deep. And it's not that hard. If you're sold out for Jesus, you can do this. Because one prayed, Cornelius prayed. God remembered, one prayed, and one obeyed. Peter said, I'm not looking to see what everybody else do. You hear that? And some of his boys went down with him. Some of his Jewish boys went down with him. You talk about hard. Oh man, you gonna stand up for Jesus in front of your homeboys? No, see, when you get in front of your home, you got to back up a little bit. Dude, maybe that's where they got that moon. I can't stand. No. Not in front of my boys. Not in front of my boys. I can't do that. No. Peter said, I'm going to stand. He said, I'm going to do it not because I suddenly have an affection for these folks. Because don't forget, the reason that Jonah didn't want to preach at Nineveh is because the Ninevites were brutal. The Ninevites, they would capture the Jews. They would, if you were captured by the Ninevites, I want you to understand, if you ran away, everybody knew you had been captured by the Ninevites because of one special thing. Your nose was missing. What? They hated the Jews so bad. When they captured the Jews, they would cut their nose off. That way, no matter where you ran, you couldn't blend in because you don't have a nose. Now you understand why when God told Jonah, go preach to the Ninevites. No! No! Because if I go preach to them, you're going to save them. They're going to believe what I got to say, and you're going to save them because I know how you are, God. I know you. I've been around you for a while. And I know if I give them the gospel, they're going to say, oh, we've been wrong. And they're going to repent. And then you're going to save them. And I don't want them saved. Peter was hit with the same. And don't forget, y'all, Cornelius had to buck his folks. This race thing goes both ways. Cornelius wasn't breaking down the door of no Jewish folks. But God told him, you go call Peter. You go call this Jew. And then he got the Jew. And then the Jew said, oh. But he got there, and he said, but God. God opened the gospel to the Gentiles, verses 1 through 6. He delivered this message to Cornelius by a Jewish man, verses 7 through 33. And when Peter started talking to him, Cornelius repeated to him. He says, in verse 31, he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms, that means your giving, have been in a remembrance in the sight of God. God remembers, church. When you spend some time in prayer, don't ever think that it's futile. Don't ever think that it's time wasted. Understand, God remembers your prayers. It's a sweet savor to God. And pray, pray for yourself. That's important. But pray for those who spitefully treat you. Pray for your enemies. Pray that God might save some of these folks in America who hate you and some of these folks that you hate. Pray. That's the diversity program. That's the cure. It was the cure here for the Jews and the Gentiles. It's the cure now. It's the only answer. We're try. You know, my kids went all through the public school education system. They done tried every Who Shot John program. Oh, we're gonna have a what was that one? That puppet thing that we Ponzi. Somehow, I don't know. You're trying to teach the kids to be nice and treat each other nice and not do bad things, and you're using a stinking puppet to do it because you can't give them Jesus. Ooh, but we thank God. God opened the door for us. We give them Jesus over here, y'all. We give them Jesus. We need your help. We need your prayers. But understand, y'all, this world has tried everything but Jesus. The stuff going on in our public schools today, It's not what you're putting into the public schools. It's what you've taken out. You've taken out the word of God. You've taken out even the most basic thing of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You can't even say that because they say that's religion. And then you wonder why kids are killing themselves and killing each other. Because you in the church, I wish I could exonerate the church. It's easy to point fingers at the world, but I can't. We stood by. There were some who stood. But many of us said, well, you know, separation of church and state. Show me that in the Bible. Separation of your spirit. That's called double-minded. The Bible's got a word for that. The Bible says a double-minded man is not fit for any. He's unstable in every situation. So either you're hot or you're cold. You're sold out for Jesus or you're not. If you're cold, Jesus said, I can fix you. If you're hot, you're going to be all right. He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll just spit you out. He said, what can I do with a lukewarm man? When's the last time y'all had a lukewarm cup of coffee? Yum. No. Isn't that something? They sell hot coffee and they sell iced coffee. But nobody can go in and order a cup of lukewarm coffee. Amen. Because don't nobody want no lukewarm nothing. Get on fire for the Lord, church. One praise. All it takes is one more to obey. That's all it takes. Just obey. Wrapping it up. Peter got all the information. He said, we got to get past this Jim Crow thing. He goes, this Jim Crow thing ain't going to work in God's kingdom. And I can't wait for the other guy to get right. I got to start getting right. I got to deal with my own issues first. Because you know what? There's nobody you have control over but you. You can march, you can write, you can sing, you can do this, you can do that, but only one person that you have control over, and that's you. Start with you. Start with us. Okay. Peter says, verse 34. He goes, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Oh, what a mouthful there. God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. What's that worketh righteousness? Believing on the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter goes on to do. He goes on to give them the complete gospel message. The word, verse 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And in verse 37, this is a curious thing. He says, that word ye know. He goes, I know you know. Wait a minute, he's talking to a Gentile. He says, Peter says, I know you already know. Wait. He's talking, what does Romans chapter 1 tell you? Romans chapter 1 tells you that the truth of God is clearly seen by every creature. He goes, and Peter says right here, I'm getting ready to give you the gospel. I'm getting ready to give you the finality of it all. He said, but you already know. You already know there's only one truth. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, he says, it talks about the Godhead. He says that they even know about the Godhead. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Peter said, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. And the rest of the story is this. Very simply put, God sent his son, Jesus. And Jesus was crucified. He hung, bled, and he died. And he rose from the dead 3 days later. And the Bible says that he got up and he was seen by witnesses. And he said that by this man, the whole world, not just America, not just Canada, not just England, the entire world. The gospel has gone to all points of the world, y'all. all points. I told y'all once before, I looked on the map. San Francisco is about as far from Jerusalem as any other point on the world that you can find. Any place in Africa, any place in Russia, any place in Alaska, San Francisco is as far from Jerusalem as you can get. Folks in San Francisco know about Jesus? Amen. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. So, Jesus is going to be the judge, and all are going to be judged by who do you say he is. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit fell on these Jews. They began to speak in other tongues. And that was an acknowledgement to the Jews who were there to let them know that God had done something special. He had, for the first time, introduced into his kingdom uncircumcised Gentiles. Not proselytes, but people just like you, just like me. The requirement is you believe on the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and you shall be saved. I preach hard on these things because God is pressing on me. There's an urgency in our nation. I just came from a divided nation. It's split on every level. This group over here, this group over here, this group over here, and it's not going to end well. And he's saying right now, while America's got a chance, and people say, well, that's patriotism. Jeremiah prayed for Israel, okay? It's the only home I got. We got to get used to folks who love the Lord, who do things and have done things that really ain't that becoming. But I'm going to tell you something. Peter said, but God. Peter said, but God. It's the last thing. We're going to be in heaven with a lot of folks, y'all. And we're going to be in heaven with a lot of folks who don't look like us. But I'm going to tell you something. We are going to be in heaven with one of the most notorious slave traders that ever there was. You're going to be in heaven with him. I can guarantee you that. I can guarantee you we are going to be in heaven with one of the most notorious British slave traders who ever there was. But I want you to know that when God steps in, he changes folks. He changed me. He changed you. He'll change anybody. This is one of the most notorious slave traders who ever lived in England. But this man is also responsible for igniting a spark in a gentleman named, in a lawyer named William Wilberforce, who spent his life fighting against slavery in England. Slavery was abolished in England long before it was abolished in America, and it was partly in part because of the most notorious slave trader there ever was. You might not know him by name, but you know his song. When I was over in Israel and I heard folks from all different parts of the world, I even heard folks singing in languages I had never heard in my life, talking about amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. A wretch. John Newton said, I am a wretch. I am a mess. I have no business even calling on the name of the Lord. I have abused people so long, treated them so badly. And God said, if you just believe that my son came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for your sins, you shall. Slave trader turned Christian, turned abolitionist, turned songwriter, but God. And you know what? Just like God took John Newton, there's those of us out here right now. We got some real hang-ups. We got some stuff we don't want to deal with. But I'm telling you, if you submit it to God, if you submit it to God, he'll change you. When I read that John Newton said he got saved long before he stopped trading slaves, but God kept working on him, kept working on him, kept working on him. God's working on us. He's working on Good Shepherd. We're a work in progress, but let's make some progress. Amen. One day, after I see Jesus, after I see Moses, I really want to see Elijah. But on my list is John Newton. Wrote one of the most famous Christian hymns ever written. And I want to know how God did it. Church, it's because God remembers that we're able to be here. It's because God remembers that we are saved. It's because God remembers that he's challenging each and every one of us here. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your enemies. Pray for your country. Pray. Pray. Pray and give alms. Give. Give to his kingdom. Give to his work. Give. And understand, God remembers. Thank you.